95's Steve Chong Show, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. There will be the latest on the Surrey Police transition, followed by an interview on the Massey Tunnel replacement, this time with the BC Conservative South Delta MLA, Ian Patton. I would like to provide the latest on the Surrey Police transition at this time. On July 16th, the Surrey Police Board had the their latest meeting where multiple issues were discussed. Excuse me. As of May 31st, 2025, DSPS has spent over $72.21 million on the yearly budget of just over $241 million, while the BCRCMP Surrey Provincial Support Unit has spent over $11.15 million, with their budget just over $35 million. Based on a July 9, 2025 report, DSPS wrote that 24 officers are training in two classes, 176, 177, in the Justice Institute of British Columbia, with 18 additional officers hired for Class 178, which will start training. As of July 9th, DSPS has hired 552 sworn officers, 448 men, and 104 women. DSPB's latest meeting also revealed correspondences between Brenda Locke, the Surrey mayor who fiercely opposed DSPS, its chief Norm Lipinski, and Gary Begg, the BC Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General at the time. On Locke's first letter, dated June 19th, she wrote to the SPS chief, Norm Lipinski, on wanting face-to-face meetings between the two twice a month, which she did with Brian Edwards, the former Surrey RCMP's top cop. Comprehensive monthly crime statistics during the first meeting each month, and notify her by phone when a significant policing incident occurs. On Locke's second letter dated June 19th to Gary Begg, the BC Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General at the time, she found that provincial staff had requested the RCMP to extend their stay in Surrey for a third year until 2027 without the Surrey City being consulted, thus being denied an opportunity to provide input. Also during the latest SPB meeting on July 16th, DSPS Chief Norm Lipinski announced that another district takeover as the SPS will take over the west side of District 5, which is South Surrey, on July 18th between the south bank of Serpentine River, Mud Bay, to 152 Street until it meets Highway 99 and extend down to the Canada-US line except the White Rock City, currently policed by the RCMP, according to Tom Zeterek of Surrey Now Leader. On July 17th, Gary Begg was replaced as the BC Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General by Nina Krieger, as Begg will be the new Parliamentary Secretary. For Surrey Infrastructure. In a Global News report by Julia Foy on July 18th, the Surrey Mayor Brenda Locke blasted the BC government on the same day, as the RCMP staying until 2027 will have cost implications for Surrey taxpayers, as this should have been consulted with the Surrey City Hall. However, the Surrey City Councilor Linda Annis wasn't surprised, as she claimed the city has delayed the transition multiple times, causing unrest to those who want to join DSPS. Nina Krieger, the new BC Public Safety Minister and Solicitor General, also sent a statement to Global News, which said, quote, "The Surrey Police transition continues and all parties, including the province, federal government, RCMP, SPS, and City of Surrey are at the table.
A Renaissance Coffee is open at SFU. Parminder and his team have been serving the SFU community with great coffee for more than 20 years. If you're looking for a wholesome meal, delectable desserts, or something to warm yourself and lift your spirits, Renaissance Cafe is the place to be. Featuring fair trade espresso beverages and brewed coffee, Renaissance Coffee is open Monday to Friday from 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Well, how do you get up and go?
Now I'd like to play my interview with the BC Conservative South Delta MLA, Ian Patton, on the Massey Tunnel Bridge. Okay. On the Massey Tunnel replacement. Hello, it's Steve Chong. Today is July 17th, 2025, and on the line is... Please introduce... Ian Patton is the BC Conservative MLA for Delta South, is a three-time MLA, first elected in 2017 as a BC Liberal, which became the BC United, moved to the BC Conservatives last August after the BC United effectively dissolved. Elected for the third time last October, currently the Shadow Minister for Agriculture and Food, as well as being part of the Select Standing Committee on Agriculture, Fish, and Food, with 30 years experience in owning and running a dairy farm. Before becoming an MLA, Ian Patton started in municipal politics in 2010 when he was elected as a Delta City Councilor, where he chaired the Agricultural and the Dikes and Drainage Committees. MLA Patton, thank you for the interview today.
Yeah, good day.
I would like to provide history on the Massey Tunnel replacement to my listeners for context. The Massey Tunnel replacement project has been a long controversy, with a 10-lane bridge replacement announced on September 20th, 2013, by the former BC Liberal Premier, Christy Clark. But the Richmond Mayor, Malcolm Brody, and the rest of the Richmond City Council opposed. The plans for the 10-lane bridge were revealed on December 16, 2015, which the former Delta Mayor Lois Jackson applauded, but Malcolm Brody and the former Vancouver Mayor Gregor Robertson, now the Federal Housing Minister, balked at the 10-lane Massey Bridge, which would have been tolled due to more vehicles getting into Richmond and Vancouver. On March 31, 2016, the Richmond Chamber of Commerce announced their support for the 10-lane bridge, but Metro Vancouver mayors rejected the 10-lane Massey Bridge 3 months later on June 29th, except the former Delta Mayor Lois Jackson, who vigorously opposed the rejection, citing a possible extension of the Canada Line. On July 24th, 2017, the Richmond City Council voted 8-1 to ask the new BCNDP provincial government to cancel the 10-lane bridge replacement for alternatives. On September 6, 2017, the BCNDP put a hold on the idea for an independent review, to which Richmond applauded, despite $66 million already being spent on the 10-lane bridge project, citing a resistance to future port development up the Fraser River by restricting long-haul ships and no visual impact to Richmond. While the Delta Mayor George Harvey originally supported the 10-lane bridge, after getting elected in 2018, he ultimately walked the support back in October 2019 after concerns on the light and shade that a bridge would oppose and concerns from Marina Garden Estate residents in the northern tip of Ladner. An 8-lane tunnel to replace the current Massey Tunnel was endorsed by Metro Vancouver mayors on October 2nd, November 1st, 2019, and the BC government ultimately chose a toll-free 8-lane tunnel over an 8-lane bridge on August 18th, 2021. With the design-build contractor, the Cross Fraser Partnership, a five-team consortium chosen on July 23, 2024. However, the Massey Tunnel Replacement Project has been marred with multiple delays as congestions in the current 66-year-old Massey Tunnel have worsened. And some have suggested, had the original 10-lane bridge replacement gone ahead at an estimated cost of $3.5 billion, with the lowest bid coming in at $2.6 billion, it would have been completed by now. Meanwhile, the current Massey Tunnel project is slated to be completed in 2030 at the earliest, with the original price tag at $4.15 billion, but there are fears that the cost could balloon.
I understand that you are a staunch supporter of the 10-lane Massey Bridge, along with the Delta City Council. Please elaborate on the issues of the 8-lane toll-free Massey Tunnel replacement.
Well, thank you for the opportunity to speak about this. I've done many interviews over the last 8 years as MLA and formerly as a Delta City Councilor. Now, when I was on Delta City Council, we had regular meetings with Mr. Jeff Freer, that was a project manager for the bridge that was going to go ahead. And as you said, there was over $60 million spent by the BC Liberal government preparing for the bridge replacement, along with moving hydro tower lines, with doing test pile driving, with sand that had preloaded to widen the highways. All these different things was, we actually estimated almost $100 million had been spent preparing for it. And then in 2017, when the NDP teamed up with the Green Party and were given the opportunity to take over as government, really out of spite, for no other reason, they canceled the bridge project, which was well on its way, as you said, with a price tag that actually came in under $3 billion at $2.6 or $2.7 billion. And they canceled the project. A lot of people were put out of work that were actively involved with preparing to build the bridge. And then, incredibly, the NDP government went to the Mayor's Council of Metro Vancouver and said, you know, will you guys decide what you would prefer to see? Would you like to see a bridge, or would you like to see the tunnel replaced with another tunnel? So, you know, I laugh heartily at a group of Metro Vancouver mayors that virtually have no experience with engineering or bridges or tunnels, given the role of choosing what they wanted. So, you know, Mayor Harvey, who you know, was adamantly in favor of a bridge, suddenly changed his mind and voted with the other Metro mayors to replace the tunnel with another tunnel. And instead of getting a 10-lane bridge for $2.6 billion, they decided to go with an 8-lane tunnel, which there's been no work done whatsoever so far in 8 years to show that they're making any attempt to replace this tunnel with another tunnel. And environmentally, it's a disaster. You know, in 1957, when the tunnel was built, people didn't give much care about, you know, marine life, salmon, sturgeon, different things in the river. And I can't believe that in this day and age, you would, replace a tunnel with massive concrete tubes in the bottom of the Fraser River.
Tell me more about the proposed River Road overpass, the second exit out of Ladner, now absent.
So, you know, I've been a resident here in Ladner my whole life. And really, when you come right down to it, everyone living in Ladner, including Marina Garden Estates, some new developments and whatnot, there's only really one way out of Ladner to get to the tunnel, and that's to take Ladner Trunk Road to get yourself onto Highway 17A, and everybody's kind of funneling into one area, the intersection of 17A Highway and Ladner Trunk Road. So we always thought, you know, when you come out of the tunnel from Richmond to the Delta side, there's an exit immediately to the right that will take you into Ladner on River Road. But you can't get out of Ladner on that same River Road. So with the bridge project, it would simply take that River Road and go underneath the bridge and come out by the new hotel casino, which would you get you into the lineup to get through, you know, onto the bridge, or to a new tunnel. So that was part of the plan, was to have a second exit out of Ladner on River Road, which would have been very handy for people in that Marina Garden Estates area, Captain's Cove Marina. But that was all part of the plan under the BC Liberal Party with the bridge.
and the NDP came along and said, no, we're going to put in a tunnel, and we're no longer going to include a second exit out of Vladimir because it'd be very expensive. We'd have to build an overpass to go over the traffic rather than going underneath the bridge.
While the BC NDP ultimately killed the 10-lane bridge replacement for the Massey Tunnel, constant opposition from the Richmond Mayor, Malcolm Brody, and the Richmond City Council can't be ignored either. What is your response to Richmond's opposition to a bridge replacement, with the city's mayor, Malcolm Brody, along with most of the Richmond City Council, who have been dead set against the 10-lane Massey bridge from the get-go, citing derays to the Richmond agricultural community, urban impacts to the Richmond city, and the design complexity being a very large detraction?
Well, honestly, I have no idea where they're coming from. You know, the city of Richmond over the years, if you look, it's a massive disaster of, you know, I'm a farmer. I'm from rural part of Delta. You know, when I look at Richmond, the towers, the density, the housing, it's unbelievable. The loss of farmland. I mean, the city of Richmond should get a gold medal for the most lost farmland in the last 100 years, and yet they sit back and complain about the fact that there would be a bridge instead of a tunnel. I mean, I don't understand that. You know, we see the benefits of a bridge would have been a track down the middle of the bridge that was part of the original plan that could have eventually extend SkyTrain from Richmond, and there's plenty of room down in between the lanes of Highway 99, that the track would have come over the bridge and could have, you know, one day we could have extended it all the way to the Blaine border crossing, South Surrey, or even to the BC ferries in Tawasin. So there was a lot of benefits for the bridge. So to this day, I honestly don't know why, you know, Mayor Brody and the city of Richmond were so opposed to the bridge. They seem to be very much in favor of a tunnel, and yet they sit and watch people stuck in traffic day in, day out for years with nothing happening with the replacement of this tunnel.
When I spoke to the Richmond Mayor, Malcolm Brody, last month, he also said the following things. You and the Delta City Councilor, Dylan Kruger, who I spoke back in May, are steadfast in favor of the bridge due to the fervor felt by the BC Liberal Premier, Christy Clark. The Massey crossing as just a river crossing, get people out of cars for buses to decrease congestion. The river crossing not being able to solve congestions. The Canada Line extension will never be built. Vehicles carrying flammable liquids need to go another way in response to the BC Conservative MLA Harman Bangu. Accidents happen in bridges as well as tunnels. With the latest accident in the Massey Tunnel back on July 7th, just 2 Mondays ago, please counter the Richmond Mayor Malcolm Brody's additional claims.
Well, when I was on Delta City Council, we were dealing all the time with the progress of the plans to build the bridge. And even the Delta City Fire Department and the Delta City Police Department, you know, actively said, yeah, we would rather see a bridge than a tunnel. Even the chief of the Tawasin First Nations was the one person that voted in favor of a bridge rather than a tunnel at the Metro Mayor's meeting that day. You know, when there's an accident in a tunnel, you're in an enclosed space, and there's cars backed up because of the accident, and the fire trucks can't even get in there, or the police department can, you know, sometimes can't even get in there to access people that are injured or a fire taking place inside of a tunnel. Whereas with a bridge, it's much more open with 10 lanes. And so, you know, it's just easier to deal with incidents on the bridge. The other thing, there's certain toxic materials that aren't even allowed to go through the George Massey Tunnel, and that would be the future of another tunnel with, you know, jet fuel that comes up from Washington State and certain things like that that are diverted to go over the Alex Fraser Bridge, which would be able to go over a new bridge over the Fraser River if there was a bridge instead of a tunnel.
Now to recent developments. Explain allegations from Pomelo BC, one of the five entities in the Cross-Fraser partnership, regarding the Massey tunnel replacement.
Repeat that, please.
Explain allegations from Pomelo BC, one of five entities in the Cross-Fraser partnership, regarding the Massey tunnel replacement.
You mean Pomelo?
Yes.
Well, I mean, I had an anonymous letter dropped off into my office from someone that was very involved with, moving forward with the replacement of this George Massey tunnel, and said that they were involved with the Pomerleau Group, and that the Pomerleau Group and their engineers were mystified with trying to come up with a sensible way to go about doing this, and they were having all sorts of trouble figuring out how the best way to go forward with replacing this George Massey tunnel with another tunnel. You know, there's just all sorts of problems that they're running into, trying to figure it out. You know, with the Fraser River, you got to remember that in 1957, there was very little marine traffic on the river. Now there's all sorts of marine traffic back and forth, ships going up. How are you going to pull off, plunking, huge concrete tubes in the Fraser River without interrupting all the marine traffic on the river? Environmentally, like I said before, I think it's a disaster putting massive concrete tubes in the bottom of the Fraser River. And then you have the issue of tides, you have the issue of freshet certain times of the year where the river is running extremely fast. There's all sorts of things that come into the complications of trying to work on the river by putting a tunnel in.
I'll get back to the environment issues later on. Please elaborate on the projected final cost of the Massey tunnel replacement from a financial expert. While the Richmond Mayor Malcolm Brody couldn't provide one last month, but said the 8-lane Massey tunnel will get built.
The projected cost, so as we've talked about before, with the bridge replacement, we had estimated it would be $3.5 billion, but we had procurement costs come in at actually less than that, $2.6 or $2.7 billion to build the bridge. I have people that have come to me in the financial, industry, and people involved in companies that are engineering projects like this, and with the way things have happened in the last 4 or 5 years, they're suggesting now that this tunnel, if it ever gets built, will be somewhere north of $7 to $10 billion, nowhere close to $4.1 billion. So I mean, the costs are just going to be absolutely outrageous if they ever get around to replacing this tunnel.
I understand that the Massey tunnel replacement, the 8-lane toll-free Massey tunnel, may not pass its environmental assessment, after which the bridge idea may be resurrected. How will the BC Conservatives, if elected in 2028, counter the Richmond City Council's opposition?
Well, I can't exactly speak for the direction we're going to go on this, but I do have a feeling that, we wouldn't do what the NDP did by wasting millions and millions of dollars that had already been spent. So let's put it this way. If the NDP actually got their act together and we could see progress on the George Massey tunnel replacement moving forward with excavation and work being done to actually get started and work being done on replacing the tunnel with another tunnel, we would probably likely move forward with that because we want to see this get replaced as soon as possible. But if nothing's been done and there's still no active information showing that they're going to get moving on this, then we would probably dust off the project plans and go back to a sensible 10-lane bridge.
How will the BC Conservatives accommodate the Steveston Interchange project?
Well, that's what I would like to know as well. The NDP have moved ahead with the Steveston Interchange project, and it would be interesting to me to see if they've made it aligned so that it would still connect up with, you know, the bridge project, if the bridge project ever went through.
This will be the final question. Will you run for a fourth term in the 2028 BC provincial election?
Right now, I would say yes, even though I'm one of the older members of the BC Conservative Party. I'm going to be turning 69 this summer. But I enjoy what I'm doing. I'm passionate about agriculture. I'm passionate about getting this new crossing put in so that my people, constituents here, aren't stuck in horrendous traffic jams trying to get through the George Massey Tunnel. And, you know, the other thing that really bothers me about this tunnel project is, you know, it's going to be slightly upriver, which is going to affect farmland on the Richmond side. If it ever goes through, it's going to affect farmland on the Delta side. They're going to clear-cut trees on Dease Island Metro Regional Park for staging area for their equipment and whatnot. This tunnel idea is a complete mess. It's a complete disaster. The bridge was the better idea. It was cheaper. It was more lanes for less money, and it would have been built 2.5 years ago. We'd be driving over that new bridge now.
Thank you for the expose on the Massey Tunnel replacement. This interview will be online sometime this weekend and will air on CJSF this Sunday sometime between 10:30 and 11 o'clock a.m.
Okay, thank you. Thanks for your opportunity.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
That was my interview with the BC Conservative South Delta MLA Ian Patton on the Massey Tunnel Replacement Project, which is now a toll-free 8-lane tunnel that has been marred with delays and allegations that the cost will balloon from the original cost of $4.15 billion to in between north of $7 and $10 billion. In comparison, the 10-lane Massey Bridge replacement, the lowest bid came in at $2.6 billion, with the projected cost at $3.5 billion. So there will likely be many chapters written in the fiasco. Thank you for listening to episode 28 of the Steve Chong Show in 2025, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 11, it is, I believe it's Julian Taylor's Jukebox. Just a minute, please. But before I go off air, I'd like to provide some scores for the BC Premier Baseball League. It is Julian Taylor's Jukebox at 11 o'clock. Now to the BC Premier Baseball League scores in the BC Premier Division. The Mid Island Pirates are up 4-0 at Nanaimo Rocksmith Stadium. The Delta Blue Jays are up 3-1 over the North Island Royals at Parksville's Inouye Wallace Field. The Victoria Eagles are up 5-2 on the Wally Chiefs at Victoria's Lambrick Park. And the White Rock Tritons are up 2-0 on the Victoria Mariners at Saanich's Lyrits. Among the 8 teams currently playing, only the North Island Royals only the North Island Royals will not be playing in the playoffs. The next 4 games, the Mid Island Pirates and North Shore Twins, also in the Nanaimo Rocksmith, slate to start at 12:30, much like the North Island Royals against the Delta Blue Jays at Parksville's Inouye Wallace Field, the Victoria Eagles against the Wallet Chiefs at Victoria's Lambrick Park, as well as the Victoria Mariners at White Rock Tritons at San Andreas Lyritz. The four later games of today's BCPBL.